Thank you, Marcelo. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm here to talk about healthcare systems. And healthcare systems, by way of reminder, as a reminder, is the collection of our businesses that deal with diagnostic and diagnostic imaging and clinical products, stretching all the way from MRs and CTs and ultrasound scanners to anesthesia machines and even into home health. So all the equipment and services associated with these businesses is what represents healthcare systems. The market we're looking at today is fairly positive. It's certainly on a rebound, for sure. Markets which were strong remain strong in the emerging markets in India, China, and Latin America. Other markets, like in the U.S., are rebounding as well. It's certainly positive growth this year, and we see the same outlook continuing into next year. In Europe, Middle East and Africa, in Asia Pacific, it's more of a mixed bag, simply because of the diverse nature of the economies and the different countries there. In Western Europe, we see a little bit of a slowdown, mostly because of restrictions in government spending. A lot of the healthcare there is funded by the government, which is reducing the capital expenditure in those markets. In other markets, though, in the same region, such as Eastern Europe or in Russia, for example, which is rebounding strongly, or the Middle East or Southeast Asia in particular, there's strong growth, almost mimicking that of the emerging markets. So it's a mixed bag in those regions, but overall a pretty positive outlook. Now, how do we compete there? And that's a story that that I'll walk you through in the next few minutes. You know, the essence of our competitive strategies and of our overall strategy is something that John mentioned earlier, is our breadth across this entire portfolio, broader than anyone else out there, any other player out there, our depth, both in terms of leadership in each of our businesses, but also in terms of price points of products that we have, so we cover a broad section of the marketplace. And finally, in terms of our global presence. That means win everywhere with everything. That's essentially the core of our strategic portfolio, the strategic emphasis. Healthy imagination I'll talk to you a little more about, which, again, John had alluded to earlier, but I'll go into this a little more in depth, talking about how we're operationalizing healthy imagination in the way we work, in the way we design products. I'll talk about some of our key growth platforms and kind of put it in perspective of our competition and the markets that we participate in. First, you know, back to the environment that we exist in. We're a global business. We've got lots of advantages in this global business, but at the same time, we try to take those advantages and focus them in both locally as well as in niche areas. So our competition breaks down into three major categories. First, our traditional global competitors, such as Siemens and Philips, against whom you know, we compete in scale and breadth. And we think that our health imagination process is something that's new, fundamentally different, and in the end will become a competitive advantage for us. Then there are niche competitors that play in only one business or one area, such as Sonosite in ultrasound, or Hologic in mammography, or Dräger in anesthesia. So these are niche players who are global players, but limited to one domain. And then finally, there's regional competition, companies such as Minray or Shimadzu, who compete in specific geographies and have local knowledge. These two sets of competitors, the niche competitors and the regional competitors, lack global scale and overall technology breadth. And we expect it to be as local and as niche as they are in their own areas, and be better because of our overall presence, our ability to leverage technology across the board, our overall scale, and at the same time develop the same level of customer intimacy as the best. We've had success. We gained share this year in diagnostic imaging and MR in particular. Anesthesia is another area where we've had strong success and certainly showed that we can compete in that area as well as anybody. And in regionally, in China, where we are the biggest player. In ultrasound, we have been the biggest player in China and continue to be the biggest player by distance against both global and local competition. So we think that the key to our success in all of these areas is by being able to leverage our global business model and apply it to these specific areas. And in that way, we're stronger than all our competition. And at the same time, our learnings from being customer intimate in these areas allow us to reverse engineer, if you like, some of these ideas back into the global markets and compete against our global competition in that way. So let me talk a little bit about Health Imagination, because Health Imagination is one of the foundations for our operating success going forward. It's a big thing for us. It's more than an external marketing message, if you like. It really drives the way in which we think about our business and the way we operate. As a reminder, Health Imagination focuses our business around cost, quality, and access for our customers, improve cost by about 15%, a quantitative target for our customers again, improve access that they have to their patients, and improve the quality of care that they provide. So for a start, one of the main things that Health Imagination changes for us is that it forces us to think about our customers' problems first and about how we can provide solutions to them so that they can measurably improve the type of care that they're providing. And this precise method allows us to focus, and forces us rather, to focus on creating clinical and economic value for our products, for thinking about what the economic and clinical value will be for our products in the design stage and in the concept stage, and have clear targets on every new product that we do upfront around what kind of cost benefit or access benefit or quality benefit that product will provide for our customers when it is launched. And that's a big change, thinking about this upfront. At the same time, being able to do this and have evidence to show to our customers that we've actually achieved those goals, we need to have more clinical trials and trials that demonstrate the economic value and the clinical value of the products that we've created. By doing so, we think that when we introduce the products, the adoption rates will be quicker because the relevance and the benefit to our customers will be more obvious to them because, first, we'll have thought about it up front, and second, we'll have had evidence which we can demonstrate to them that this, in fact, is better for them economically and clinically. We think that through this process of improved evidence generation on these products before they're launched, we can cut down the adoption rates of technology in the healthcare world. Today, in healthcare in general, it takes about 7 to 10 years before a technology is fully adopted, which really causes an inefficiency in the overall process, both in terms of our business growth, but also in terms of the healthcare benefits that can be realized. We expect to cut that in half by making it more like 4 to 5 years in terms of the adoption curve. And we think Health Imagination and the rigor and the process that we'll go through our thinking about our customers and the rigor of evidence generation will be central to our ability to do that. And finally, this, in fact, is very good for our business because it streamlines our research and development investments into products that will have a higher hit rate of success. The R&D spending will be much more efficient, a much greater balance between pure technology spending and spending aimed at clinical trials and other forms of evidence generation. So again, when products come out, they will hit their revenue targets much more quickly and drive growth for our business and improve our overall profitability as an enterprise. We're already in this process a year or so. We've had 80, we were planning 80 new product introductions through this methodology in the next, in this year and next year. And then there's many more products in the pipeline. So this is central, again, to the way in which we do business, the way we think, and the way we operate, and all our new product development, and essentially the way our business model works. I'm now going to talk to you about our specific growth platforms. In our core segments, in our developing markets, how we're going after adjacent markets, and in fact, how we're disrupting, we plan to disrupt in the right way the business models for our customers to drive even further growth, and how Health Imagination, you'll see, is a continuous theme through this whole process. So let me start with our core leadership products in our core markets. These are, markets that we've been in for a long time, in MR, in CT, in patient monitoring, and in ultrasound. And these are only four of 10 of our overall businesses that we have within healthcare systems, and just by way of example. And in just these four segments, we will have introduced products in the last year or so in late 2009 and 2010 that will result in over $500 million of revenue in 2010. And we expect that the same portfolio of products will provide 28% growth next year. And what are these products doing? Well, first, let's take MR as an example. You know, patient access in MR has been a problem because of the bore size. Widening the bore size historically has created problems in image quality. We've come up with techniques through which our wide bore systems, which we introduced late last year, have almost no compromise in image quality. As a result, they've had huge customer acceptance. And again, we do this because through the health imagination process, it tells us that that's of value to our customers in improving access. In CT, we think that the defining parameter in CT going forward will be how low a dose that a CT machine will provide while maintaining or improving image quality concurrently. In the products that we're launching and have recently launched, we think we'll have clear leadership in this area. Our dose will be something like 50% less than we think our competition and what we have today, and while improving image quality at the same time. It's an area where we will really go for clear leadership, and we think we have a couple of years lead in our competition. In patient monitoring, connected care, the ability to provide critical patient data at all care settings in a hospital is very important. And it is important if you want to install a connected and highly efficient patient monitoring across the hospital, tracking patients as they move from setting to setting. We've launched a series of products, two major platforms in this area this year, again, driving very successful business results. And finally, in ultrasound, where we've had success for a fairly long time now in a strong leadership position, we're further extending that leadership through our Logic E9 series in radiology, an architecture which provides unique image quality way superior to anything that the market sees today and is being accepted in a very positive manner in the marketplace, driving a lot of growth in ultrasound. So again, in the leadership areas, four examples in four of our businesses, true across the board, but in these four areas, very specific and concrete examples of success in the last year or two and looking very positive going forward. So an area of continued focus for us. Now the rest of the market, in the emerging world, which Marcelo touched on a little bit, what's needed there? We need to win there. We'll compete there. But the essential success factors in those markets are one of providing very low-cost platforms, but again, without compromising quality too much, by providing the right image quality, maybe without some of the frills that may not be necessary, or some of the added features, but basic good image quality at the lowest possible cost, easy-to-use products, because you'll inherently have new users. This is a problem of access in many of these countries where you're creating new users, creating new hospitals. So the ease of use of this equipment, the local language capability of this equipment is very important. And in many of these areas and some of our product lines, portability is extremely important too because, you're creating access in villages and rural settings and the infrastructure may not be available for fixed stations, and portability, again, is an important factor. And when we've done that, like in MR, for example, we're now selling products in these markets which are priced 30 to 50% less than equivalent products a couple of years ago. We're doing the same thing with CT, really disrupting the cost position that we can sell at. This is a new market, so the sales are about $80 million this year. Most of these products will launch this year. This will double next year, and we expect this kind of doubling to continue for a few years as this market grows and we introduce more products across more of our businesses into this area. So leadership, both in terms of our core segments, in terms of our high-end performance, as well as leadership in our growth markets and emerging markets with products that market wants, and back to our health imagination and our thinking around what our customers need, putting that filter in our product development up front really fine-tunes our targeting of features of these products so that they can be of real value when they're launched. Now, you're going to ask that, if you have so many products, especially these growth markets at such low cost that your customers really want, then are your margins going to suffer? what we've shown, and last year in this meeting last year, we elaborated on the ultrasound business, and let me just remind you of that. It's a story that's continued, that's had continued success. But in the ultrasound market, because of its rapid growth around the world, the average price of products have come down, not because the price of an equivalent product has come down, but because there are more products at lower price points available today than there were, say, 10 years ago. In fact, the average selling price of our ultrasound units has come down by 44% because of this proliferation of lower price products. It's come down by 44% in the last 10 years or so. And at the same time, our contribution margin in this business has gone up by 10 points. And that's because the architectures that we've used to build these products are based on Moore's law, or the electronics law, which says that performance goes up and cost comes down over time. And these changes in architecture have enabled us to build an ultrasound business that has extreme ubiquitousness, if you like, products everywhere, high technology everywhere, at low cost and yet high margins. We've taken the same kind of methodology and started to apply it to several other businesses in our portfolio. The anesthesia business in life support has the same kind of trend. The price is coming down, and yet our contribution margins have gone up. Our CT business and our MR business all going through the same kind of rapid transformation as the need for access to new patients drives the need for lower cost, higher performance products that'll fuel our forward-looking growth. And yet, because of the way in which we are driving the architecture of these units, we're reducing costs at the same time. So it's very important to realize that this growth and this huge market opportunity that we have ahead of us is actually a huge margin opportunity for us as well. And we've got a demonstrated track record in this area, and we're confident that we can continue to drive margin going forward, which will be significant in our results. Let's change gears a little bit. We've talked more about our core areas and our core marketplace. But our business still has a overall healthcare marketplace in which there's lots of room to grow. And there's adjacent spaces. And let me take you a particular example of how we approach these adjacent spaces. And let me take the example of our anesthesia business, where we're a leader in that marketplace. We've got significant share, around 50% in that marketplace, and an established position in breadth, depth, globally. Now, again, because of the size of that market, our growth is inherently somewhat limited because of our share and size. But we can take key components, key technology components in anesthesia, such as the breathing circuit, so what we call the flow valve, which is used in aiding the patient to breathe when they're under anesthesia. We can take the same technology components and apply it to the respiratory market and create ventilators. And by doing some key acquisitions, which give us a starting position, and by introducing this technology, migrating them from the anesthesia product line into the ventilators, we've created a differentiated position for us. And then a big new market space for us to grow in. So this is a business that is now over 100 million, grown from virtually nothing to 100 million in the last few years, through a mixture of our own organic as well as some inorganic growth. But the market segment growth opportunity that it offers us is massive. It's almost a $2 billion growth segment in which we're just $100 million. And we think as we fill this portfolio out, as we continue to expand geographically, we will rapidly grow in this area and it will be one of our big growth drivers going forward. Same example in terms of consumables or single-use products. We did an acquisition, Vital Signs, a couple of years ago, which was focused on the consumable market. We started to add our own technology and our own connection with, say, our anesthesia machines to these consumables, which are used with anesthesia machines, to give us a competitive advantage. We now have almost a $400 million business in the consumable space, but a market space which is $2.6 billion. A lot of room to grow. And again, we think the mixture of our technology, which we have because of our breadth of our product line, key acquisitions, our overall distribution platform globally, we're in a great position to rapidly gain share and win in this marketplace in spaces where we're really not present today. Our overall business in this area, which we call life support systems, is over $1 billion, so we've got good scale, and this kind of market expansion will allow us to continue going into the future. So we've talked about adjacent spaces. The other exciting area of growth, and we're really excited about this because we can change the way in which healthcare is done fundamentally. It's completely disrupting our customers' business models. You know, we've got a great set of technologies that we apply in our four markets and our growth geographies. We're continually learning and using miniaturization as a fundamental lever to drive higher margin products. But we can also use miniaturization and our technologies to package products differently. We can use lower cost and different types of packaging to disrupt the way in which the business model of our customers exist. In the world of diagnostic imaging and MR, today MR is fundamentally done by a single type of machine. No matter what organ you're scanning, you'll use this fairly large machine. So you'll go into a big MR magnet even if you scan your wrist. So you go in there with your wrist inside this big bore. Well, what we can do, and you can see an example here, is we can have a specialty MR system, which is smaller, requires much less maintenance, cheaper, and in fact better, because it can be designed more for that purpose. That covers something like 12-13% of the total MR procedures, specialty extremity imaging. We have a product line today which can be used for that purpose, where the cost of that product line is a third of the cost of a total MR, of a whole body MR. And the performance for that application is just as good, and this year we'll launch some features through which it'll make it better. We can do the same thing to areas like the head. Neuro imaging and MR is one of the biggest procedures, 35% of procedures. We expect in the future to address that market through a specialty system. So over time, over the next 5 years, we expect to produce offerings through which 50% of all MR procedures can be performed at a third of the cost and twice the performance. Now, this will clearly disrupt the marketplace. It'll change the way in which our customers think about MR, change the way in which they buy the systems, and change the way in which they manage their own business. That's business model innovation and a complete disruption in the way they do their business, and we think for the better in terms of healthcare efficiency. A very similar example of ultrasound, you've probably heard of the V-Scan, which is a handheld ultrasound product, producing high-quality images in a sort of a cell phone type of format, which you can see over here in a minute. We expect that this product will be used by primary care physicians across the world. And primary care physicians will use this product to provide better referrals for more expensive imaging cases that people might need. So the quality of these referrals, people who are normal will not get referred because this kind of technology will enable them to make better decisions. A normal patient when referred to a more expensive diagnostic test, the cost in the healthcare system is enormous because you're putting in the cost of a procedure for a patient with a lot of issues to a normal patient. And if you can do that in a lower-cost fashion with something like a handheld ultrasound, then the benefits are obvious to the overall healthcare systems in terms of overall quality of care, but also in terms of overall cost. So these are just two examples of business model disruption that we can drive in the healthcare world that'll improve the quality of healthcare, that'll improve access potentially, and certainly reduce the cost of healthcare. And these are at least two platforms which we will drive aggressively in the next 5 years. And then finally, in the same thought process of new businesses and new areas for growth, we have to talk about home health. If you think of the demographics, and you know, John talked about chronic care and the bow wave of patients, if you like, approaching the need for chronic disease management, one finds that the hospital systems and the clinic systems, the infrastructure that's available worldwide, is just not going to be capable of dealing with this many patients. And sooner or later, care has to be provided in the home. And so we see an exciting market opportunity there. The market, we think, will triple in the next 5 years, the market opportunity. But it's a fairly segmented marketplace with lots of different areas in which one can go into. The area that we've chosen to participate in is an area where the connectivity and the clinical skill set that's required is important, and this is areas in the area of chronic disease management as well as in the care of the elderly in their home. We call that independent living and disease management, which we think will become the two largest segments where we can make a difference in this marketplace. Our connection with our healthcare providers, our relationship with luminaries in this area, and our knowledge of how to make products that are good for patients, that patients will comply by, we think will be big differentiators. In addition, this will require mass market adoption. It will require not only the relationship with providers and payers, but also an architecture that's scalable so that we can deal with millions of patients in their home instead of thousands. So it will require an architecture that can be scaled up, that our providers can take and then deploy in a massive fashion once the evidence is there that this is providing true value for them. We've done a joint venture with Intel in this area, and together with them, we have a suite of products. Intel brings to us an architecture that's very scalable. We provide some healthcare-specific technology, as well as a connection to the healthcare marketplace and a knowledge of how to develop products for healthcare. Again, through the same kind of health imagination screen, because one has to be efficient as to how to invest in this area and build the right products for this marketplace. We think that in this area, we already, we just started this, less than a year ago into this area. We already have an installed base with these products of over 6,000 patients who are monitoring today. This continues to grow something like 10% a month. So every month, this thing is adding 500-600 users to our overall installed base, and we expect that pace to accelerate as we get better at this and there's more adoption and there's more evidence for its utility. So in summary, look, this is an exciting marketplace. It covers a wide spread of technologies, of customers, of geographies. It's a very exciting space. We think a huge opportunity for growth for us. We think we can make money doing this. We think this will be the healthcare systems will be a huge growth driver into the future. And we expect some really exciting results. So with that, I'm going to introduce Vishal Wanchu, who's going to talk to us about the healthcare IT business.